Continuing in this message right here, I'm going to continue in this message about, and the title of the message is The Mystery of Bearing Fruit. The Mystery of Bearing Fruit. And more specifically, the mystery in bearing, as we call, the fruits of the Spirit. And there's facts that you need to understand and that you need to know. There are facts that you need to believe upon with all of your heart. And that you need to not only believe upon them, but you need to rest in them, right? You need to rest in them. So I'm going to read here just simply in Galatians 5. That's where I'm going to start, at verse 22. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then verse 23 says gentleness and self-control. And then it says, against such things there is no law. And that sounds kind of strange, but the whole bottom line is that you're no longer under the law. And then that's why you're now free to bear these fruits. You're now free to bear these fruits because you're no longer under the law. You know why you're no longer under the law? Because the law has been satisfied through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning you and concerning me. We're no longer in the flesh because all those that are born under the flesh are under the law. That's why you were born with the need of a Savior. That's why you were born a sinner. You were born after your father, Adam, of Adam and of Eve, and because he chose the way of the flesh and he was the federal head of the first man. Of any man that was ever created and born after him, they are descendants of Adam. And that's why all men must receive salvation. And that salvation comes through the holy, righteous name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's why it says that. And it says that because it's declaring that you're not under the law. And the reason that you're not under the law, oh, hallelujah, is because you're no longer in the flesh. You know, now I know that, you know, that can sound very confusing. You go, well, what do you mean right here? You know, the flesh and the body are not the same thing, just so you understand that. The way of the flesh is expressed through the body, okay? You know, you can say my fleshly body, that's perfectly fine. But I want you to understand that Scripture, and I hope to get to it, Scripture makes a distinction between the body. You know, my body is wonderfully and fearfully made. Right? You know, so what is that? Psalm 139. That tells us that, right? My body is wonderfully and fearfully made, you know, but the flesh is the evil, wicked, perverted desires that express themselves through the body. You know, and when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is called in the Scriptures, he is called the last, not the second, he's called the last Adam. He now is a new federal head. Oh, isn't that wonderful and glorious? You know, he comes as the last Adam. But, you know, and he was, it says in Galatians again, it says that he was born of a woman. And that means that Jesus was clothed with all flesh and blood. But he was also born of a virgin, and he did not have the seed of Adam in him. Now, this is really very important for us to understand this. He did not have the seed of Adam within him, and so he did not have that sin nature. He was the perfect so-called sacrificial lamb. All through the ages, what they would do, you know, to sacrifice for the people, and they would bring about atonement. And what they would do is they'd have a one-year-old, perfect, without defect, lamb. You know, as we find that John cries out and says, behold, the Lamb of God, right, who takes away the sin of the world. Well, Jesus was the perfect manifestation of the only sacrifice that could take away sin, and that's what he did. You know, under atonement, you know, a lamb can't die for the sins of men. All right, a lamb cannot die for the sins of men. You know, you understand how valuable that lamb would be. He would be extremely valuable because he was found with no defect. You know, they would examine him. Matter of fact, isn't it just only God, that when Pilate was examining Jesus in the praetorium, the priests were examining the one-year-old sacrificial lamb. Oh, isn't that incredible? Isn't that absolutely incredible? Talking about God being in control. Well, don't make no mistake about it that He is in control. I'm going to stop right there and make a little comment. You know, as we come into these last days, I want you to know, and as you read about in Revelation and you read on, I want you to understand that God is in absolute control. When the Antichrist comes, the Antichrist is not in control. God is in control. Okay, you need to understand that. You know, anything and everything that happens is God is under absolute total control. You know, but He's bringing judgment to men. He's bringing judgment on this world. He's bringing judgment on this earth, you know, and He's going to bring men to repentance. And to those that won't repent will enter into destruction, you know. But that's also the manifestation of the love of God. You know, when things get rough, do you understand part of that is the work of salvation? You know, sometimes things that we go through, just bear with me. You know, you're saying, well, I went through this because of this or that. I'm not. All right, but you understand that, you know, suffering here on this side of earth is a lot better than suffering on the other side. Okay? It really is. It's suffering. If any kind of suffering that you go through, when I suffer, man, what I went through recently, I suffered. Oh, man, I did. I suffered. And, you know, my heart attitude has been, Lord God, is that, Lord, you know, Lord, what do you want to tell me here? What do you want to show me, you know, Lord God? Because I don't want to miss it, you know, and humble myself before the Lord. And it's not a matter of why I went through that because of this, but I also don't want to be callous and mindless and miss whatever the Lord wants to say to me. You understand? Right? You know, so you have a humble heart before God. And in that humble heart, you humble yourself before the Lord and you open your heart up to the Lord. Lord, what are you trying to show me here? Or what do you want me to learn from this? Right? Shouldn't we be learning from any situation, circumstance that you go through? You're either submitting to God when you go through situations and circumstances or you're rebelling against Him. Do you understand? Even being passive is a form of defiance. If you're a little child, okay, go. They're not yelling at you. They're not screaming at you or doing anything else. Here it is. What is that? That's a form of rebellion, isn't it? Sure it is, right? You know, and becoming passive, non-responsive to God. And I'm just going to lay down and quit right where I'm at with what I'm going through. It's a form of rebellion. You just need to know that, right? You know, so, you know, when you love the Lord, you're crying out to God and you're turning to the Lord. You know, so, you know, whether it's great or whether it's small, you know, it doesn't matter whether, you know, you kind of expected it or you weren't, it came so unexpectedly to you. Whatever it is, you humble yourself before the Lord and you take on a mentality and attitude that says, what do you want me to learn from this, Lord? What do you want me to learn from this? And He'll show you something. He really will. And then He'll do a work within you. He'll always do a work within you. Because you know what He's doing? He's always bringing about the work of the Spirit that produces these fruits in your life and in my life. Now, let's go back to that. You know, I covered that, wanted to say that to us. Because I don't want you to fear what happens in the earth. I don't want you to fear. I want you to know that God's in control. Okay? I want you to know, when the Antichrist comes, I won't say a whole lot right now because it's like I'll create more questions than not. I'm going to talk about him sometime, you know, but he's a supernatural character. You study him. He is truly a supernatural character that God allows us to rise because God's judging the earth through him. It's not like the evil one gained control. That's not so. So you just need to understand, if we're all moving in that direction. The last days was declared, you know, when on the day of Pentecost. You know, we celebrated that just recently, you know, and it was declared out of Joel. Peter spoke it, that's when the last days begin. We've been in the last days ever since then. Boy, it's barreling down the road, isn't it? It really is. It really is. But don't fear. Don't fear. God is in control. God is in control. You know, so I want you to understand that because I know a lot of people fear that. They really do. They fear it. You know, so again, back here, It says right here again, you know, at the end of verse 23, it says, against such things, all right, there is no law, right? There's no law against these things, you know, and we are no longer under the law. Let me show you this a little bit more so. Will you come on over? Well, let me read. I've read that. Let me read over here. Turn to me and look at verse 16. Will you look with me at verse 16? You know, remember one thing, a point that I made, and I wanted to maybe I'll speak it a little bit because I think I'll have a third message on this as well. You know, these are the fruits of the Spirit in which we bear. Whose fruits are they? Are they your fruits? No. They're whose fruits? They're the fruits of what? Everybody say the Spirit. Okay, they're the fruits of the Spirit. You know, what am I doing? I'm only simply bearing them. I am not producing them. Do you understand? You can't do it. All right. Oh, you might, you know, make an act of love. You may make an act of gentleness. You may display some, you know, self-control. But number one, it's not that which comes from the flesh. All of these attributes are attributes of who our God is in the first place. And but they're being manifested in the Holy Spirit. And so they are the fruits of the Spirit. Now, listen to this carefully. You know, they are manifested where the Holy Spirit has been welcomed and invited to take control. And as He begins to come in and take control of you or an area of you, you know, because you invite Him to take control, do you want to see victory in areas of the flesh? This is the way that you do it. You invite the Holy Spirit to take control. You don't just take that one little item and then lift it up for prayer, let's just call it temper. You know, temper. I keep praying about my temper, you know, and I keep asking the Lord, forgive me. I keep bringing temper. You know, but it seems like you're not getting anywhere. The Lord doesn't want simply that area of the temper. He wants you to invite Him in to take total control. Then He starts changing the temper. And He starts changing everything that maybe possibly is causing the temper. Have you ever thought about that? Let me give you a statement that I wrote down right here that is very important for us to understand. Listen to this. The internal workings is what is dictating to the outward behavior. All right, let me read that statement again. The internal workings is what is dictating to the outward behavior. So you understand it's not a matter of simply about, and realize I'm just using this as an example, right? You know, it's not just simply about the anger, right? You know, it can be other things that go on, you know, that happen. You know, and what happens, and notice that again, the internal workings is what's dictating to the outward behavior. Now, we're going to look at it later, but in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the lust of deceit, and that's where a lot of that comes from the lust of deceit. What do you mean the lust of deceit? Well, you know, in your flesh, man, there's something that's pushing you. Maybe pushing you deep down, but it's still pushing you. I got one for you. Here's one that I used to run in a lot, especially with marriage counseling and couples, Christian marriage counseling and having difficulties or whatever it would be, and run across that, you know, because of past experience, a woman would say, I'll never let a man control me again. Well, you just made a vow that was an ungodly nature, and it just brought a stronghold in your life. And so here you are, you and your husband, whatever, and he says something, and, you know, he's as innocent as he could be with what his intention was, but what he said and what he did was different from the way that you interpreted it, because that bondage is what's speaking to you, not what really happened. This goes on all the time. This goes on all the time, right? You know, that is another one. You know, that is one. That's a very common one. You begin to invite the Holy Spirit, repent of those ungodly vows that you made. Another one is that I won't ever be treated like that. Maybe you came up in a rough home, or maybe and your mom and your dad did a lot of fighting. you know, or whatever it would be. And that was the atmosphere that you were brought in. And so you observed things, you know, and so you made a vow in your heart, you know, that it's not going to be that way with me. And so this creates conflict. It brings troubles, you know, because the behavior is coming from the internal dictation that's going on in your life. You know, you think that an angry man is a strong man. No, he's a very weak man, right? No. You know, he may look, you know, intimidating, whatever it would be, but he's really a weak man. You know, you've heard of triggers, right? What's triggering that? Right? What's triggering that? Well, it's internal things, not outward things. Well, that made me mad. No, no, no. That's not what made you mad. That might have been where you, you know, demonstrated your anger, but it came from what's being dictated inside. Usually, people who have anger problems are very insecure people deep down. They're insecure. Right? When they blow up in anger, it's usually because they're intimidated that the situation is getting out of their control. Right? You know, I mean, you understand these things come like flashes. Are you with me here? They come in like flashes, right? You know, because these are things that are of the character and nature of the way of the flesh. So, you know, you can pray all day long. Oh, Lord God, how about this one? Let's just talk about lust, period, okay? Let's talk about sexual lust or whatever. Lust means more than sexual, right? You know, but, you know, it becomes a way of soothing yourself. It becomes a way of compensating. It becomes a way of comfort. That may sound strange, but you indulge because it's a way of escape and because it's a way of comfort. This is where a lot of sexual lust is expressed. The problem is not the lust itself. You know, it's the internal mechanisms. You know, so that's why you come and you invite the Holy Spirit. See, you're not just simply, you know, I got a problem. He knows that, you know, and he will address that. He will address that, you know, but it's not a matter of him just taking the problem and not taking residence over you. That's why these fruits are not bore or just trickle down in many a Christian's lives when this is your inheritance in Jesus right here. I mean, really, this is your inheritance. This is who God says, this is what I'll do for you, and this is what I'll make you. You will be this, you know. And there's a process involved, you know, and the Holy Spirit is the helper. Well, see, he takes his job serious, all right? You know, he's the helper. So, you know, whenever you open the crack of the door just a little bit, you know, and, you know, he doesn't sit back and say, well, that's just not enough. I'm not coming in until you open up the whole way. He doesn't do that. We do that, but he doesn't do that. He holds no grudges, right? He's not going to punish anybody. It's not the way of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't think about that. I'll teach him a lesson. No, right? I'll just give him a little bit. No, no. But you open the door a little bit, he comes in where he's welcome. He comes in right there. And so that's how trickles of the fruits of the Spirit come. I've experienced it, but I'm also frustrated over it. Then why am I not seeing more of this? And why is there so much up and down in it? You know, the Spirit of God, he wants to come in and set up control. You say, you know, Lord, I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know where this anger is coming from. I've been that way all my life. I don't know why that is there, you know. But, Lord, I give it to you, and I give it all to you. And then the Holy Spirit begins to come in and dwell in every area and region that you now have surrendered up to him. Let me show you. Here is verse 16. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, I want you to see this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Whoa. You know, that's a statement of truth. Did you know that's a statement of your inheritance if you're in Jesus? Did you know that's the reality for you to embrace as a believer? I don't care how far away you might be from it. You know, that might be a statement that is so foreign to you that you can't even begin to understand, you know, what in the world is being said. It doesn't make any difference. You accept the way of the truth, the word of the truth, and as you accept it, then you let the Holy Spirit lead you into it, and He will do just that. But now, here's what I want you to see this. So do you see this is a truth, this is your inheritance, and you do not have to obey your flesh? You know, that's a truth right there that a lot of Christians have never even come to the reality to, right? Right? And as long as you don't ever come to that reality, how can the Holy Spirit work? Oh, I gotta. That's part of the lust of deceit, which again is in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at it later in more detail. All right? You know, so your thinking is wrong. That's why the Bible talks about the renewing of your mind. You know, because you're thinking according to the way of the flesh, not according to the way of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to think according to the way of the Spirit. But under the flesh, your thinking is ruled by the lust of deceit. All right? Well, what do you mean by that? Well, that's one of that internal mechanism is saying, I got to have it. Now, you don't think of it that way, but it becomes this enslaved pressure. I got to have it. And so you do. You indulge. Are you with me? Right? That's called the lust of deceit. Because you don't have a God. You don't got to have it. Are you hearing me? No, you don't. But you know, we have to accept these things and accept these ways. And we have to accept the way of the Spirit is that we're now in Jesus. We're no longer in the flesh. And we're now in Jesus. We're in the Spirit. That's why it says that. Now look at these instructions, because now it says very carefully in verse 16, but I say walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. All right, let's just read a little bit more. Verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Look at this, for these are in opposition to one another. And then it goes on and says this, so that you may not do the things that you please. When he says the things that you please, he's talking about the things after the flesh, right? My desire. I got to have it. I got to do it. These are internal pressures. You're not thinking those words. These are internal pressures that come from the flesh. And so then you obey. It all came through the lust of deceit. Are you hearing me? All right, and the only way out of that is that, as the scripture says, is number one is through the renewing of your mind. Let me read this to you. It says in Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Whoa, a lot of power being exerted right there, isn't it? Right? You know, so the renewing of your mind is that this is an act of faith in which you receive the knowledge of the truth. I'm no longer in the flesh. Sure feel like it. But I'm no longer in the flesh, but I'm in the Spirit. I don't see any evidence of it, but I receive it. Are you hearing me? Right? You know, you now got on the road to renewing your mind. Do you understand that? And the power of God's now being released in your life, because it ends up, excuse me, with being transformed, doesn't it? Isn't that good? Glory to God. I'll give you another example. See, it's you and I that have to act in our faith. Let me talk about these fruits real quick. Let me share this. This the fruits of the Spirit. This is not a willpower thing. There is no self-discipline involved. There is no striving involved. We bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But it is a faith thing, and it is also a surrender thing. And it is the inheritance that comes through the new self, which is what the Spirit of God is seeking to clothe us in. All right. All right, I want you to hear that. But there's an element here. Let me give you this element. I'm reading over, just listen. This is Ephesians 4, And it says in verse 26, it says, and put on, I want you to hear that phrase, put on, listen, the new self. Now listen as he describes it, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So the renewing of your mind comes through the faith embrace of the truth and the promise of inheritance that you have in Christ Jesus. The word says I'm no longer in the flesh and I don't have to obey it anymore. In the name of Jesus, I will not obey it anymore. And glory to God that I'm now in the Spirit because I'm in Jesus and I'll walk after the Spirit. You begin to make these kind of confessions about yourself, even though you seem so far away. If you won't do it, then you won't get it. Let me confirm that. All right, did you hear that word? Put on. That was put in my and your hands. The new self was created in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is ready to clothe you and I in the new self, which is the walk of the Spirit. Okay? But he said, you put it on. How do you put it on? By faith is how you put it on. All right, now let me read on. Can I read that again? Listen to the nature and the character of the new self. This is the true Christian life. This is the true Christian walk. Here it is. And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. This is where real holiness is obtained. You get clothed with it. Isn't that amazing? That's not the only place that it talks about put on. Let me give it to you again. This is now Colossians 3:10. Listen, put on, okay, and having put on the new self. I was reading Ephesians 4:26. Now I'm reading Colossians 3:10. And having put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Wow. Now that word put on, let me give it to you. The word put on is in duo, E-N-D-U-O, accent on that O. It means to clothe or to be clothed with. Okay, here it is again. To clothe or to be clothed with. I'll read a little more of that definition. Listen to this scripture. Now I'm reading, just listen, to Romans 13:14 says this, but put on, now that's the third time we've heard that. Now put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, so what happens when you begin to have the mindset of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? And make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. Oh, you mean I don't have to put up with it and I'm no longer a slave in it? Unless you think you are. Are you hearing me? You don't renew your mind through willpower or might, but you do renew your mind through the truth of the word of the Lord, right? This is what the Lord said. This is my inheritance in Jesus. I don't care how long I've been practicing it. I'm not going to be practicing it anymore. And then you understand, then the Spirit, he takes possession of what you gave him, right? And then he begins to come in, you know, and he begins to manifest the fruits accordingly. You don't dictate to God what fruit you want. It don't work that way. That's still you being in charge. Right? That's still living in the self life, right? You know, it's never going to work for you, ever. Okay? Ever. Right? No, it's surrender. It's to the Holy Spirit to take control of it. Then you know what he begins to do? He begins to move not upon the behavior first. He begins to move upon the internal mechanisms that's been causing the behavior in the first place. That's what he moves on. So you may continue to do it, but you're going to keep speaking to it. Get out of me. I'm not that man. I'm not going to be that man. I'm not that way, and that's not my inheritance in the name of Jesus. He's not going to stay long. You don't do it one time and then it don't work. Are you hearing me? This is real important. This is how you bear fruit for God. This is how you bear fruit for God. Did you hear that scripture I just read? But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Well, I can't help it. That's another one of the lust of deceits right there. Are you hearing me? You know, you're living in deception and you don't even know that you're deceived about it. You might have been taught that deception in church. Oh, yeah, you better believe it. There's a lot of deceptions that are being taught in church. Okay? Right? I can't help it. That's just my flesh. It's not me. Okay. You're deceived. That's part of the fear of the Lord. Do you understand that? If you think that you can't ever be deceived, you already are. Right? Don't we fear being deceived? Because when you're deceived, you're blinded and you don't see and you don't know. So we have the fear of the Lord and we understand this mechanism. We understand that the way of the flesh is the lust of deceit. And it'll make you think that you're all perfectly good and fine and you'll be completely blind to the ways of the flesh that reign and rule over you. That's not good news. That's amazing, isn't it? So I make no provision. It's not my word, is it? Make no provision for the flesh. That's what it said. I didn't say it. You know? So, okay. Praise God. All right? So I'm going to go one more place because I'm wanting to prove it to you scripturally. I want to prove it to you, you know, that how you bear the fruits of the Spirit is that you let the Holy Spirit come in and take control, not simply pray about a fruit or even claiming it. That's not going to work. It's not going to work. Here, proving it to you now. All right? Now I want you to go back over here, I'm going to read verse 22. This is now Galatians again, 5. 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I'm going to move on that one more next week. All right? But now look at this. Look what he says in verse 24. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus. Anybody here belong to Jesus? Okay, look here. This is what has happened. It says, have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. I don't care what your experience is. That's the truth of your inheritance. Are you hearing that? Do you hear that? Huh? I hope that's liberating to you with things that you've maybe been putting up with that you don't have to put up with. And listening to the lies of the devil one that creates passivity, right? It takes away your faith. It takes away your expectation. It creates passivity. And there's a little voice speaking to you that whispers, learn how to live with it. Learn how to live with it. Learn how to live with it. And God don't want you to live with it. All right. Now, let's go on. So that is a definitive truth statement that right there. I'll get into that more next week. But now let's go back to that walk of the Spirit. Here's verse 25. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Did you see that he separated them? Huh? One is that we live. You're in Jesus. You're alive unto God by the Spirit. But that doesn't mean that you're automatically walking in the Spirit, does it? Because he just gave you instructions. He says, if we live by the Spirit, then let us walk by the Spirit. Did you hear that? So you understand there's a difference right on. That goes right in line with all of those definitions of put on, doesn't it? Right? All right. Let me give you the other part of that definition. I wanted you to have it, okay? And here it is about putting on. Now, in duo, that's the phrase. It's one word in the Greek. It says to clothe or to be clothed with. And you've heard me read this definition before. Then it has this part of its definition, in the sense of sinking into a garment, right? All right. So this thing, you know, right here, this hand is causing me problems, right? You know, this arm, it's causing me problems. So I'm going to take it and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, like sinking into a garment. I got up, and you know what I had to do with my arm? I had to put it through this sleeve before I put it on. It was covered by the shirt. That's the giving it to the Lord for his control. Now let's take it further. I gave you that. But now I want to give you this. That word walk. Let me read 25 again and I'm closing here. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. You know, that word walk right there is the Greek word storicheo, storicheo. Storicheo, listen to its definition. You remember we're talking about walk by the Spirit versus being alive by the Spirit. Okay, here it is. What's its definition? Here it is. The walk, what does it mean? To be in a row with. Ever seen baby ducks, right? Going across the road, right? Following their mama, right? Look at them. Bump, 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 bump. They're right in a row, right? Who are they following? They're following mama. Isn't that correct? And they, boy, they're just right there in a row. All right? Right there? So that's part of the definition, to be in the row with. How about this? To be aligned with. To be aligned with. But here is the real kicker. Here's the one that settles the issue right here. This part of the definition of walk. It means to walk by the rule of. Done deal. Did you hear me? So it's where we invite the Spirit's control. It's when we begin to see the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit and the death of the crucified flesh. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody say glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got one more thing to do. We're going to do now. Beatrice, you got your oil ready because I got this on my heart. We're going to do this by the Holy Spirit right now. Kathy, would you come up here? Okay. And I want everybody to stand. Would you do that? Okay. Would you? I've got my bottle of oil. Everybody stand. If you can't stand,